Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are just humbly grateful to God for this new day that He has allowed us to participate in. And so as we come in on this Friday, March 24th, this is Words from the Word, and I'm your host, Overseer Paulette. And we have just want to start our session today with prayer. And so we want to ask Elder Roberta if she would lead us in prayer. Our Friday fellowship has need of prayer. There's members who in their bodies, and the enemy does attack our body, and we want to look at something a little later on to establish within us. But as we, before we go forth, we are asking if Elder Roberta would lead us in an intercessory prayer of discernment and knowledge and healing and praise, absolutely praise. And then we want to have Minister Pat, if she would get our scripture from the Amplified Version, which is the one Philippians 3 and 12, which we will be looking at a little later on. But we just wanted to establish our going forth this morning. We also acknowledge all of those who have joined us and come to us even at later times. It's a glorious, sunny day in Chicago, and God has manifested Himself to the world with this weather. And so we are His, and so we are rejoicing in it because we know who's in charge, and we know that we belong to Him. And that is a glorious, glorious blessing. So all our lives, because this is interactive, and we ask that you put your phones on mute unless you want to speak. And when you want to speak, just put them on, take them off mute and jump right in. This is, as I said, interactive. And then we, after prayer, if Elder will then, Minister Pat will read our scripture in the Amplified Version. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just come on this morning just thanking and praising, Father God, for a new day of grace and your mercy, Father God. We thank you for life on today, Father. We thank you for salvation on today. We thank you even now for your loving kindness for us, Father God. We thank you for how you allowed your angels to encamp round about us as we snap, Father God, protecting us from danger, seen and unseen, Father God. We thank you for words from the word on today, Father God, how you have given apostle and overseer, Father God, the vision for your people, Father God, to be able to bring more understanding unto your people, Father God, from your word. Father, we just thank and praise you even now, Father God, for the word that we will be reviewing on today, Father God. And we ask that you will let that word, Father God, begin to minister into our hearts, our souls, and our minds, Father God. Let that word, Father God, which has been planted within us, Father God, begin to manifest healing in our bodies, Father God. For you said that you sent your word to heal, Father God. So, Father, we ask even now that you allow that word to begin to manifest healing to every area of our bodies, Father God, to our minds, to our souls, and to our hearts and our spirits, Father. And then allow it even to begin to draw us closer unto you, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, let it, Father God, begin to teach us how to abide in you even the more, Father God, and allow you to abide in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're here. Hello?
Yes.
don't have the Amplified. I was coming home from the hospital.
Okay.
So I don't have the Amplified Bible. I only have King James with me.
Oh,
is that okay or no? Yeah.
Well, it's in King James. And so
I have the Amplified. What scripture?
Oh, good.
Are we
good.
Looking at?
Okay. It's Philippians 3 and 12.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Well, this is Margaret again. I just got a call. From April.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
So I think I know what this is all about.
Okay.
A young lady that April, Julia, and I all work with, and she just started calling to tell me she's making her transition this morning.
Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, God.
So we truly pray for that family.
Jesus, we lift them up. Yes. My God, my God.
Very young lady. And God blessed her soul. He blessed her soul to bless others. She was quite a case manager. And she wasn't satisfied with her job. She felt that she wanted to do more. And so she went back to school to become an oncology nurse, and she graduated, and her goal was to work with hospice, and she did.
Glory to God.
So it's just painful. I didn't know what was going on this morning, but when April called, and I said, okay. Okay, I understand.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
No. As a fellowship, we agree with those that grieve. We weep with those that weep, and we rejoice with those that rejoice. And separation. I just my prayer would have been that Elder Deborah would have been on the line today. I know she's at a funeral. And that's what God has graced her in the area of grief and grief counseling.
Yes.
And this would have been just a superb opportunity for her to come forth for you. But we know that God does all things decent and in order, and that he has a plan. And as we join in, when you shared about what her occupation was. We have Minister Pat on the line. That's exactly what her career is. She is an oncology nurse, and she understands it. So, Minister Pat, I just give you now an opportunity to minister now to the fellowship on behalf of Sister Margaret. And as it goes forth, we release it into the airways for the family, as well as for all families that are experiencing what happens and will happen to all of us. Okay, Minister Pat?
Yes, I will. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, on today. We thank you for this is the day. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
We thank you, Father God, for this is the day, Lord, that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad. We come now, first of all, asking you to forgive us for all our sins, omission and commission, past, present, and future sins. Father God, right now, we pray for the young woman who is making her transition, Father God. You know what's going on, Father God. We pray your will, Father God, be done
We pray for peace, Father God. We pray for comfort. We pray for strength, Father God, for all the family and friends and loved ones at this time, Father God. We know, Lord, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So we ask, Lord, that you will comfort all the people who are dealing with bereavement at this time. And we ask, Lord, that they will feel your loving arms wrapped around them, Father God, that they will feel you've given them the strength that they need to know that you are with them, Father God. For your words say you will never leave us or forsake us, Father God. We pray for peace right now, Father God, that you'll give them peace, Father God, and that they will remember and cherish and treasure the memories of the loved ones and friends and family, Father God. We know, Lord, that you are doing all things is in your will and your plan for our life. But we still know that we hurt and we have grief and we have pain and we have sorrow, Lord. And day to day you will give us the strength to endure. For your words say weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. So we pray your will on today. We pray for all the family who've gathered with them, that person, and we pray for Minister April, and we pray for Elder Deborah, and we pray for Evangelist Roberta, and we pray for everyone who have sickness in their bodies, Father God. We pray, Father God, for everyone, and we ask, Lord, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Yes.
Anyone else that wants to minister, you may do so. The phones are open. This is a fellowship.
Her name was Trina Smith. She had an African name, actually, but everybody called her Trina. And she did know the Lord. That is the great thing about it.
Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Well, amen. 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 Amen, amen. Anyone else on the line that would like to share?
And all I want to say, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just thanking God. I was just thanking God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And I was just going to say, she said she was an oncology nurse, and as I was here, say that that takes a lot of, I feel, you know, the healing, it takes a lot of compassion and caring when you deal with patients with cancer, and they grow on you, because sometimes you with them 6 to 8 weeks or more. And I feel your grief right now, and we're all here for you.
Yes, I appreciate that. Well, like I said, and she was during the time when my husband was on hospice, she was so close to us. She was the instrument in bringing each set of foster kids to our home. And the very last set that she brought to us had been on her caseload for years, from the first one to she saw the baby being born that we were so attached to and that we were able to take care of. And when she heard about my husband, she was just so torn, and she would call and say, I just can't stand in front of him. You don't know how much I love him. And we loved her as a daughter. We loved her. And but most of all, it gives me great peace to know that she knew God. And because of her family being African, sometimes they would kind of give her a hard time about it, but and she would definitely lift her family, keep her family in prayer. that they would come to know the Lord as well. Yeah, but I thank God she
Amen.
Knew him. She knew him. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
God.
The word says that when someone is born, we cry. But when they transition, we rejoice. For we understand the hope of our calling.
Yes.
And he says in his word, think on these thoughts. And so those are the truths that we will remember. And I think the more you, Sister Margaret, are remembering her life, her legacy of hope, her heart of love, that who she was is healing your grief. Because
yeah.
The initial thing is it's a deep loss, a great separation.
Yes.
And Christ knew this, and he said that he took the sting out of it. He took
yes.
the victory from it. And the
yes.
victory from death is that we are no longer condemned, but now
yes.
he's been released and free to receive her reward. And so it's his truth that takes the hard edge off of our grief. And then remembering those things that live beyond us, those things
yes.
that are not temporal, but they're eternal. And when those things are left, they never, ever go away. They never fade. They never rust. They don't decay. They can't
mm-hmm.
be stolen because they are eternal. And all that her life presented in this realm, in this earthly realm, are treasures that as you remember them, they will add to your life. They will increase your joy, your faith, your strength, your peace. And in doing so, her life will heal your grief for her separation from this life. God
yes.
has a way of doing that which is beyond us to understand.
Yes.
But it is
yes.
so like him
yes.
to know what it is we need and how
yes.
he can bring that peace to us that truly does surpass our understanding. And so as she is in recipient of her reward, we
yes.
can only rejoice that heaven has increased in that her life brought those to Christ. And so
yeah.
now
yes.
they don't
yes.
live condemned. Her life brought joy into the heart
yes.
of the saints. And joy is strength. And it was the joy from doing that which she was her destiny to do. She was called to do that. And so her work is done.
Yes.
Her reward is now. And we
wow.
rejoice in that. We sorrow for our separation from her, but we have to keep our mind on those things that brought her to that special place in our heart. Because it's those
yes.
things, those lovely things, those things that were true, those things that were
yes.
virtuous, those things that added to our own living that then
yes.
causes her destiny, an eternal destiny, to manifest itself. And so this young woman, I've never met her, I don't believe, and yet she's blessed my life. So
mm-hmm.
Our lives continue as we are, I'd say, crucified with Christ and allow him
mm-hmm.
to live through us. And one of the things that in our learning and in our studying, we're finding is that is the reason even for our journey is to go from to bring God's glory on the earth
yes.
so that those that walk this walk can walk it as though they're seated in heavenly places, because the goodness and the inheritance of God becomes real while we're walking this walk. And so it is a time of separation and of sorrow for the flesh, and our spirit can see our flesh from his spirit, so that our flesh will always honor God. I believe that just the power of the connection that brought a physical manifestation into your life, Sister Margaret, is evident of the heart of an evangelist that feels, okay, they have a discernment and they have a response in the spirit to those that are God's.
Yes.
And as a result, your spirit man, and our spirit man affects our physical body. We wanted to look at that, the spirit, the soul, and the body. And so now it is your spirit that has been touched with Holy Spirit that will feed your soul, that will then direct your body. And so that it's a I'm not going to say a sympathy type reaction that a man has when his wife is pregnant. He feels this and he feels that's how deep love goes. That's how deep God's love goes. That's how powerful God's love is in us. So when we honor the ministry of one another, okay, then we become powerful individuals, in that we lose ourselves and we become selfless. And we all know that to become selfless is the only way we can then start manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. And that is in itself the evidence of who we belong to. So it points back to him. So a life well spent that points back to God is one that has a crown in glory. And so we thank God for even knowing saints and honoring them as we walk with them, just like with this Friday fellowship. This is an honor to be in fellowship with those that belong to the Father. One of the greatest things I think that Christ said on earth, this one just that resounds in my soul right now, is when he taught them to pray, and he said, you pray thus, you say, Our Father. That is a powerful word coming from God, the Son, who has established us as with him, and honoring and claiming, if you will, or establishing the relationship of God, his God, God the Father, with all of us. So then he says, now you can say Our Father, because he belongs to us now, and we belong to him. I think it's such a powerful time of rejoicing, a time of renewing the mind, where our mind will start to get a God's eye view of life, so that we stop wasting God's time. We stop wasting our time. We start honoring the calling and the ministry on our lives, so that we can do the will of God, so that we can be built up in our most holy faith, so that God gets glory, and that this thing happens on the scale that it needs to happen. It transforms the world, and it transforms every place that we are in the world. And it becomes an honor and a privilege to have been invited by God to share on the work with what he is doing. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So I just, we just want to meditate just for a while with this song. I just love the words of this song, and so I just want to share that this morning as we meditate, as we honor one who has gone to be with the Savior, receiving their rewards.
Yeah.
And it doesn't play for me. Because it all points to who He is. Our God is awesome. And as we view Him, and as we honor Him, and as we praise Him, all the healing that needs to take place happens. And as we realize who He is and what He has done, and His plan for us, and in a greater scheme of things, we're in line with this. It just don't want to play for me, but that's okay.
Oh, it will.
But He is an awesome, awesome man.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
And you know, as it start to play, I do say, Overseer, as I accept the calling to walk in the office of evangelism, it's like I said. Because of the newness of it, I had no idea. I normally have a 6 o'clock a.m. prayer partner call. We did that, but I just had no idea, Lord, what is this that's making me feel? And now as I look back and think about it, my arms were aching, and I was just sitting here as in a hugging position, but I didn't know what was going on in a sense. And I called you, and I said to you, I don't know what's going on, but my body just feels so bad. But I pray that I will know how to react when things are being shown or revealed or taught to me. I pray that I will know how to handle it, so to speak.
And I hear you, and we are going to be taught, and that's the Holy Spirit's job. But we're going to be able to recognize and acknowledge that prayer, though a good prayer, is not the best expression of what's going on, because He showed you what to do, and you obeyed Him. And that's what the book is, what He's telling us, abide in Him. He is doing everything. So that's like, you know, I pray that Mom and Daddy feed me. Oh, they're going to feed you. He's going to feed you. He is. Our prayer is that we hear and obey, that we embrace His ministry in our life, that because He told you exactly what to do, and you did it.
Is that called? Is that called on?
Yes, we're here. We're here, Mr. Novello Evangelist. We're here.
Is that call honor and begin to obey and believe in your ministry? Would that be called that? You begin to honor and start believing in your ministry and accepting it.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
I love it. That's exactly what it is. That's from one evangelist to another, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Glory to God.
Thank you. Yes. All right.
That is so, and that's what that is. And no, and it's acknowledging that. It's opening our understanding. That Holy Spirit's job, He's going to do His job. That's one of the things that the lesson is teaching us, is that it's all Him. We can have a confidence, to know that everything that we need and we need to do, He is going to orchestrate it in our life. Our position is one of surrender and obedience.
And so that is, you know, as you do it, rejoice, you know, in the fact that you, I felt what my body, I didn't know what it was. You told me to do this. And then as I did, let him reveal to you as he is, and you're hearing him, that it was your arms that were aching. So they were going to miss the embrace and the love of a loved one on a human level. But spiritually, he was getting to that. You're going to rejoice because the heaviness of flesh has dropped from her now. It has dropped from you now. And you don't have to bear that burden. Remember, he says, you know, cast your care on me. He'll care for you. That's a burden he carries for you now. You're yoked with him. And so the way you shifted over to Christ, and Christ said, oh, I've been there and I've done that. I took the sting out, okay? I took the victory out. So now you watch and you can walk taller and stronger and in confidence and knowing everything in my life he will handle for me. And when he handles it, you will find that you love the way he manages your life, how he manages your emotions. And then you're going to start seeing how he's going to start, because he's managing it and your heart likes it. Now your words and your mouth are going to start declaring it to other people who experience these things like this. And you're going to see it from a God's eye view, and then you will help them see it from a God's eye view. One of the things that become most difficult in our human life is dealing with grief, dealing with that separation, dealing with that. And there is just a level of pain involved in it on such a human plane that goes so deep. It goes so deep. And it affects us so truly. And it gets us in a mindset, in a place of, you know, God. And he's saying, yes, I'm here. I have an answer. Hear me. Hear my answer. Hear my solution to it. You know, I know that there are others on the line who have experienced such things that you may want to share your journey and your truth and your victory as God has and is working us through those life experiences that are devastating to us on a human level, that he can put it up to a level where not many people can understand, because the things of God are so hard for the carnal mind to embrace. You know, so that mind has to be fed from that soul that has been fed, from that spirit that has been ruled by Holy Spirit, that is one with the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Anybody, this is an opportunity. You? Yes. Opportunity. One of the, not cliches, but one of the statements that's presented in our studying is, if life events, the difference between it becoming an ordeal or an opportunity, and the choice is ours. It'd be an ordeal.
Yeah.
It'd be an opportunity. And God has the elements and all the ingredients for our opportunity to bring wholeness to us and to others and bring glory to him. And so we want to surrender to his process and his wisdom and his plan, because it is his. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's my song. I don't want to play it again. Maybe God don't want it to play. Okay. So if we can... and I don't want to just,
go over the zoom past moment that is an eternal one, though they all are. So without, you know, making sure everything that needs to be done and said and shared has been.
Amen. And I certainly thank my sisters and my overseer and all that are on the line. I certainly appreciate you all.
Amen. Amen. There is power in the fellowship. The truth is power in the fellowship. There's safety in the fellowship. And there is truth in the fellowship. As long as we honor God, that's the ministry of one another. So we thank God for it. We thank God for it. Minister Elder Roberta. Elder Roberta.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Yes. Do you have? Okay, you have. Did you have anything you wanted to share?
No, ma'am.
Okay. You have our scripture.
Yes. Yes. Philippians 3:12. It says from the Message Bible, I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I am well on my way, reaching out for Christ, who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal, where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back.
Amen.
That was 12-14.
Okay. Now, can somebody read it out of the regular, the King James first? Or how it is?
Is Minister Pat on the line? I'm getting it. Philippians 3. And 12. Philippians 3:12 in the King James. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, our book uses a term, and it says not as though I have already obtained either or already made perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so that word apprehend became for me a focal point of understanding where Paul was going with this. And so I looked up apprehend because it appeared to me, and I'm not an English major, so those that are out there, that please jump in here. but it seemed like he was talking about a verb and almost and a noun, the word being used to me in my understanding as both, but I looked it up, and it said, excuse me,
it's apprehend. It says third person present, which I never understood that stuff. And then the past participle. But then it says arrest as someone for a crime. A warrant was issued, but he was not able to apprehend or arrest that person. And then it says understand or perceive. Great art invites us to apprehend beauty and recognize, discern, and perceive. So one, recognize, discern, and perceive. And then the other is arrest, catch, capture, and seize. Seize someone to grab hold of them. And I thought, wow. I mean, it's like two different meanings, which is why I probably thought one was a noun and one was a verb. But two different meanings of the same word that Paul is using here. So he's saying here that I may apprehend that for which also, so he's saying that I may understand that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. So I have to understand why I'm arrested and laid hold on. Type is kind of how I can, you know, view and understand it in my mind. So I need to understand why I have been pursued and arrested. Okay, there's a warrant out. I like that. It's a warrant was issued. And a warrant was issued for us, you know, by God, because we belong to him, and he had, you know, and it's so wonderful that the warrant was issued in the garden against us, and he was searching to arrest us, to catch us, and arrest us so that we would know that the warrant had been fulfilled. It's like, well, okay.
That's
a picture for me. And then letting me know, now wait a minute. Who would issue a warrant and then, you know, go through all the trouble to catch me only to set me free? Now, that person has to be definitely unique. There's no one else like that. So, and what Paul is saying, I need to try to find out who this is. I need to make this, since I've been free and I'm no longer under this warrant, that I need to do some investigation, if you will, into who this person is, this person of Jesus Christ. And that's what became his life pursuit. I got to find out all about him that I can. And so as he proceeded in this, you know, different ones may think, well, you know what, he's an expert at this, because we've seen him follow, you know, after the truth of this Savior, so he must know all there is to know. I'm sure others looked around him, felt that way, come on over here, tell us what you know, and, you know, teach us. And he talked to kings, you know, he talked to laymen, you know, he shared with everybody the good, the bad, and everybody who was good or bad or really horrible, but he shared it all with them because he had been so enamored with this process of being apprehended. And then I thought about it as I continued to read, you know, and the author brings up a lot of points, and you guys feel free to share the revelation and the insight God has given you. it then became a marriage proposal, because that was the come, and then the marriage proposal then became a bye, because as Paul and as we kind of are arrested and caught and then start to assess what's really going on and then seeking to find out more about the person in charge of this process, that we come to, as Paul did, to love him. And as we come into that, we become aware of just the depth of love that he has for us. And then we realize, and it's good, and that's when we come and we know, oh, wow, he loves me. That is wonderful. And remember, the author's whole outlook on this is one of, you know, we have not learned to abide. And that's us getting to that point in the relationship where he then gives us a proposal of marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, you know how they say that some people, you know, if you've been a criminal all your life, you don't know how to live free. And how some people prefer to stay in jail. Or, you know, even when they're released and they get out, they don't know how to live in society, and they actually want to go back into that prison. And he gives us this proposal, and then we have to assess, okay, and just like when a man proposes to a woman, how, you know, that woman will come to a place where, wow, we have been together, you know, I know, you know, who he is, I believe he loves me, da 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 da. One of those positive ones, not the negative. And then you say yes. And we said yes. When we came to him, we accepted his proposal. And what happens after a proposal is a marriage. And what happens after a marriage, you combine what two lives become one. And that is where the abide comes in. So it's like cut you off from where you were because you're the bride and engraft you into where he is, the lover of your soul, the one who has proposed, your bridegroom. And then his house becomes your house. His possessions become your possessions. And in the days of biblical times, the woman didn't have anything. She came from her father's home, and he paid somebody paid a dowry to him, and he released her. And so she has nothing unless she's under her father's covering or she's under the covering of her husband. And so that's where we are. We're either under the covering of Satan, who is the father of, you know, sin, or we're in the house of the lover of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, Holy Spirit. And so as we make the choice to say yes and accept the proposal, after having been pursued and freed and you know, justified, then we get to a point where now that which is our husband has to become ours. And we have to cut the ties, because even though we may separate physically, as in a marriage, you have to separate spiritually in your thinking from your old way. You're no longer single. Now you are married. You're becoming one with someone else. And as you become one with someone else, it's a change of your mind. It's a change of your physical and your emotional response to life situations. Like sometimes expecting mothers to say, well, I'm eating for two now. You know, it's like you kind of take into consideration my situation is different, so I'm not gonna, I can't do what I did before. And that's what that abiding and that engrafting, that circumcision that happens as we are placed into the vine, the husband, our bridegroom, and how these mindsets have to be renewed. And the way they're renewed is as we have experiences with him and become convinced and believe that all of the promises of the marriage vow he truly intends to keep. There was a section, I think, on page 32 of our book where he says, I thought I highlighted it, but I guess I didn't. But it almost puts it into the conversation of, or not the conversation, but the vow that you actually say when you're being being married. And I have trust in to keep you.
Is it in the third paragraph? Are you talking about, yield yourself this very day?
On 32?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, yield yourself this very day to the blessed Savior in the surrender of the one thing he asks of you. Give up yourself to abide in him.
Yes.
He himself will work it in you. You can trust him to keep you trusting and abiding.
Yes, yes, yes.
It'd be.
And look at the second chapter. This is,
oh my Jesus, excuse me, if you bid me, and if you engage to lift and keep me there, I will venture, trembling but trusting. I will say, Jesus, I do abide in you.
I do, which is the language of the marriage vow is you, I do, you know, and as he presents his promises to you, and as he makes his commitment to you, he's telling you that he will, and then you're telling him that you will. And so what we see is his commitment is to handle everything that's in your life. And
yeah,
he really is the only one that can do that. And all too often we try to get that done on that human level, and it doesn't work, even as the marriage vows, unless Christ is in the center of that. And so we see that. Can we, you know, we see that process. Yes. Yes. Insight.
I was there.
Yes, yes.
I was there. Is that agreeing to join together as one?
Mm-hmm.
You begin to join together with him.
Yes. Yes. Amen. And that's how we abide in him. We agree to let go and cut that mindset of the old, and take on this new relationship, and understand how this new life is going to look, so that we don't become discouraged when it doesn't look like the old life dictates it should look, but rather we get a God's eye view. It says that what does his love result in? When he loves us, on page 28, and it says, dear souls, little do you know that the abiding in Christ is meant only for the weak and so beautifully suited to our feebleness. In other words, we couldn't do it on our own. It's like it's that trusting of coming as a child. And it says the unfaithful one casting self on one who is altogether trustworthy and true. Abiding in him is not a work that we have to do as the condition for enjoying our salvation, but a consenting to let him do all for us, in us, and through us. It is a work he does for us, the fruit and the power of his redeeming love. Our part is to yield, trust, and wait for what he has engaged to perform. So in other words, it's like we need to see that the result, first of all, of us receiving his love is that we will trust him and we will wait. Because we trust him, we will wait. And so there's no place for disappointment or discouragement because we're waiting. And we trust what we're waiting for, who we're waiting for. And we trust what will come when it comes because we trust his love. His love, his redeeming love, it says there's the fruit and the power. So there is a resulting and a fruit of something that identifies itself with its source, and it is something that is positive. It grows and it expands the source. That's what fruit does. It expands and gets. It's got a seed, and you can have more like it. And it has the flavor, if you will, of its source. And we know that the flavor of the source of God is love, joy, it's patience. That's why he says, oh, taste and see. This is a fruit that you can taste and see. And it has all of these benefits. It has all of these elements and ingredients. It's joy, it's love, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's patience, it's gentleness, it's kindness, it's love. And that's what it tastes like. And it is glory. And it is powerful. Because it's not just a good taste and that's it. It actually packs a power. It's interesting because a lot of fruit, once it ferments, it ages and matures, okay? It becomes a very powerful, I was going to say side effect, but that's not what I mean. It becomes a very powerful product, all right? A very powerful product of the fruit itself. Yes? Hello? Okay. And so as it becomes a powerful product of the fruit itself, it really affects the minds of those that partake of it, that new wine. And so we need to see, and this all comes from us abiding in the vine. His fruit comes on our branch, comes forth from our branch. And as this fruit is matured, the nectar of it, the moisture of it, the meat of it, will bring about a change in the minds of those that partake of it because it will be renewed with the ingredients of the original source, which is the vine. And so when we see this as being a part of our process, being a part of abiding, what it shows us is that this our very nature. We are body, soul, and spirit. And once our spirit is fed by the Spirit of God, or I'll say before our spirit is fed by the Spirit of God, we're soulish people. You know, we do what has been imparted to our soul. And that's, you know, whatever we've been influenced by. And then our soul tells our body what to do and how to feel and that sort of thing, which generally gets us in all kinds of trouble. But once we become spirit and our spirit is empowered by the Holy Spirit, then that our Holy Spirit and the spirit in us is what will feed the soul. And we no longer become soulish, but we become spirit and spiritual and spirit-minded. And once we become spirit-minded and we feed the soul that, then the soul is feeding the body those nutrients that come from Holy Spirit, not what comes from the soul that came from the world. And when it comes from the world into the soul, if you look at the triangle that way, from the world to the soul to our body, then our bodies are sick. Then our bodies are in trouble. And then our bodies won't have peace. They go into despair and discouragement because the source into our soul is one that has no holy substance. It has no consistency, and it has no heart for what our bodies were created to do. But when we allow Holy Spirit to then take over and feed our spirit man, then our spirit man becomes strong. And he feeds our soul. Our soul is fed by our spirit that has been influenced and baptized by Holy Spirit. And then what feeds our soul will feed our body and our mind. And that will be the Word of God. That will be the ingredients or the elements of the vine, which then become our source. And so that becomes a powerful combination, a winning combination, because it is God's original combination. And so our bodies will respond perfectly according to his will, according to his will. So as we see, we have been apprehended. Warrant was sent out for our arrest, and we were caught and grasped, held on to, and then we were set free by that power. We came, we abide. So what discourages us? What keeps us from remaining in that abiding position, or coming to that abiding position, or knowing that abiding position? It is what feeds our soul, and that needs to be the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God feeds our soul through the Word of God. And the Word of God is what brings the life to feed our soul, so to feed our spirit, so that our spirit will feed our soul. And then we will glorify and bring glory to God in our actions, in our ways, in our speech. Will bring glory to God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Over here, just a quick question.
Yes.
Did anyone read it from the Amplified Bible? I'm back home. Philippians 3:12.
No, I think she read from the Message Bible.
Okay. Now it says from the Amplified, and it was interesting. It says, "Not that I have already attained it." And then he got in parentheses, "This goal of being Christ-like, have already been made perfect."
but I actively press on so that I may take hold of the perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. And I had never heard it that way, so I'm like, wow.
Yes. That's what I love, that apprehend. I knew that word, apprehend. It's like, what does that mean? You think you kind of know what a word means in general, but to know specifically gives you a different insight. And that's why I like the Amplified Bible, because it'll give you, like, all of the words that kind of mean that word. And so
You said and you said apprehend, but and all those words, I'm learning the Amplified just breaks it down even more, you know.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
I was just gonna say that that word had stood out to me this morning, and I looked it up as well.
Okay.
And as Minister Pat was saying, it said, laying hold, Christ laying hold of the human mind and will in order to prompt and govern it. And I said, man, you know, that is... and your question about, like, I was thinking that sometimes I forget what you just asked, but I was thinking that sometimes we get so busy in and then sometimes you're taught, you know, work for the Lord. So we get so busy in doing, but I don't think we ever stop and ask the question, is this really what he wants us to do, or is this what we think he wants us to do
in the working
time? And then we get so busy that we're not really concentrating on abiding in him, or letting him abide in us, that we can hear where he's leading us, or where Holy Spirit is leading us to do what he would have us to do, or say what he have us to say to whom he's leading us to. And it was something else in here that I saw, because the book, he says that the idea we have of grace is this, that their conversion and pardon are God's work, but that now in gratitude to God, it is their work. He's speaking about the Christians, to live as Christians, follow Jesus. There is always the thought of a work that has to be done. And even though they pray for help, still the work is theirs. So we're not thinking in terms of his work, but our work. So they fail continually and become hopeless, and the despondency only increases the helplessness. No wandering one, as it was Jesus who drew you when he spoke, come. So it is Jesus who keeps you when he said, abide. The grace to come and the grace to abide alike are from him alone. So we have to listen, or have the ear to hear him more in the working part, because it is his work. I was trying to find where he said it's his work.
Yes. And that's on page 28.
Yeah, it is his work.
He does for us. And I think, and
yes,
as you brought out, it's interesting because we do get to a certain place that then we think is for us to do. And like, okay,
right,
he's done this, he's done that, now it's my turn or whatever. You know, this is, and it's like, it's never, that's never where he's leading us. He's leading us,
yes,
to a total dependence on Holy Spirit to guide us in every step and thought that we have and that we make. And even though we're trained and we are gifted and anointed in areas that, you know, and tasked to do certain things, you know, it should always be in the mindset of, it is not my work, this is my worship. I do this because I honor him. And so it is nothing to be to my account, but this is for me to lay up unto him my worship, my surrender. So when I do ministry, I am surrendering me to him. And when we look at it that way, you don't worship somebody based on your understanding of you. You worship someone based on your understanding of him. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to ever try to back up that flow that no longer comes from the vine to the branch, and we think that it can just come from the branch without being first initiated through the vine, which is Holy Spirit to us, because it's then that we have really tried to remove ourselves from that connection, because then we're working in the flesh, and there's no flesh that's coming from the vine to the branch. So we want to remember, even in ministry, and most often in those things pertaining to God, we err for lack of understanding what his word has established, not what it said, but what it has already established. And we try to establish it according to our understanding. And our understanding is not complete, and it must not, I don't want to say supersede him, but our understanding needs to be replaced with him, his knowledge, and our relationship with Holy Spirit. I believe we have one of those anointed ones on the phone. All of you, all of anointed. But Bishop, would you be here this morning?
Yes,
amen,
ma'am. How are you?
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I was just enjoying the teaching. It's just man, it's you know, it's heavy, and I'm glad there was no compromising in what was being shared. You know, and from a male perspective, I think the greatest lesson men have to learn is how to be a bride. I know that sounds funny, but it's very hard for men to understand that role and have to walk in it, whereas your lover is providing for you, and he has his handmaids and servants, they're attending to your every need, and how it's so important to rip off the old mindset and enter into a new mindset that, you know, God is really with you. And as we make this transition into kingdom thinking, that the old man is really passed away, and that we have to every day, like the definition, apprehend what he is saying to us daily. You know, you can't help but go back to the model prayer where he says, give us our daily bread. You know, I think sometimes we want to get to the finish line, and yet getting to the finish line, you can't eat that buffet of bread that he has set up on the table for you. But yet, you know, that daily bread helps you to sustain and helps you to move forward. And I think it's wonderful to be in that type of position where you count it all loss just for to grow in the knowledge of who God is and who we are in him. So I think it's great. I think it was wonderful.
Amen.
And I thank you for that insight, because even though, you know, you may feel, well, it's true, he's probably the only man on the phone, because women are on the phone, we need to understand that. We need to view it. We need to embrace that truth, because it will cause us to interact with those who are called, those who are in our lives, those male persons, to get a greater grace in our association with them, and our patience for them, love for them, understanding, long-suffering, because they do view it differently, and we need to know that. And so often we go head-on thinking they should think like we think, and they don't. They can't. It's them, that God didn't make them that way. And so this insight that we receive should give us a different perspective when we are ministering, or when we're ministering, period, to those males who are the head. And we need to understand whether they're our sons, our husbands, our nephews, our cousins, or just, you know, those that are brothers in the body of Christ, that they're going to see things differently. And we need to be sure we're walking in the Spirit, you know, when we speak to them, when we speak of them, when we speak for them, when we interact with them, you know, when we love them, when we teach them, when we train them, when we grow them up, you know, because it is a perspective that has to be acknowledged for their growth and development, our children, our sons, and so they will understand that is who you are, and this is who God says you are. And to understand that it's not going to be just embraced like we embrace it, as Bishop mentioned, you know, we're used to that. That's what we've been looking for, but that's not what they've been looking for. And so we definitely need Holy Spirit to guide us in our interaction with the males, whether they're in church or in our homes, at our work site, in our schools, no matter where they are, and how we interact with them. We need to understand that and honor that and seek even the more diligent that Holy Spirit teaches us how to, when to, and, you know, the why to of it all, so that we're never walking in our own understanding as it relates to that. Amen?
Amen.
It would be mind taking back control of the body.
Say that again, Evangelist?
That would be some, maybe the mind taking back control of the body, that we can walk in harmony.
Amen. 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 And let that spirit feed, let the spirit feed the soul, and the soul the body, in the name of Jesus.
But that is so serious, that is really so serious. You know. I mean, we talked briefly a little bit about that, but yet that is so true. I mean, let's look at it from this perspective. You have from your parents. Some of your parents' genes in you, right? 60%
mm-hmm.
from your father, 50% from your mother. And when Adam and Eve sinned and they disconnected the spirit portion of who we are, we was just operating out of soul and body. And the only way the soul could get information was from the genes of the world. And so this is over 2,000 and thousands of years of the world feeding our body's information and our body's establishing a DNA code on how we should conduct ourselves, what we should do. You know, Darwin calls it evolution, you know, and I'm not praising the thought, I'm just using it as a reference.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it evolution, and we evolve, which is why we have to be regened or regenerated, because once the spirit gets involved, then now we're getting information from the eternal world, and from the eternal world, as it feeds our soul has to now fall subject to what the spirit says, thus the body falls subject to what the soul has released, and then everything is in divine order. But yet it takes that first initial step of saying, I submit therefore to God, therefore I can resist the devil, and then he has no other choice but to flee.
Hallelujah.
I like it. Good stuff.
Amen. Yes.
The power comes from the fruit that comes from the redemption love of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is power. There is power. And there is grace, which is a divine empowerment. And he provides it so divinely our spirit will feed our soul. And that's what will empower our soul. Our soul gets that grace from the feeding of the spirit, and it is what empowers our body to respond to situations, circumstances, and whatever, the way God had originally ordained that we do. And that's what brings him and glory to the earth.
Once that is established, the body automatically starts regenerating itself, if you will, to formulate a new code or system. And therefore, we understand the scripture now when it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Because the whole thing has passed away. Because the whole, look, observe, all things have become new. And I'm loving it. This is some heavy stuff.
Amen.
Overseer and Bishop. Can I ask a question? It might sound dumb, but how would you pray that? From where he started and where you end, what would a prayer look like in that way, manner? You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know what?
I didn't get the question.
It's a good question, but it's such a simple answer. And I tell you why, because it's in the Bible. The disciples asked the same question. Like, God, Jesus, you done told us all this stuff. So how are we supposed to pray? And what did he say? Say, Our Father.
He gave us, and we just need to stop repeating words.
And understand what he was communicating. You know, every word in that prayer is communicating a truth and a process and a principle of God to us. And we just go put our eyes on heaven, or we would like to sing it, you know, we need to understand, and you know what God just said. He said, you know what, this question has been asked. Jesus knew it was that's why he put it in the Bible. Mr. Pat, you ain't the only one that asked it. I don't know which one of them asked,
but
one of them asked.
Come on.
Got the answer, and he told somebody, write it down, because they're going to ask the question again. And one day, they're going to get it. And that day is the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it, because in it, every grace is ours, every mercy is ours, all of the victories of heaven are ours today, because we have sat at his feet and learned of him. And that's what he told us to do.
Amen. Amen.
So look
that's
at that.
Look
at that prayer and take apart every word in the company of Holy Spirit as he teaches you that process that you see in that word of God, in that prayer. Our Father. Amen. And the confidence we have is that he hears us. Absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And it's already
And you know why it's done? That was the greatest intercessory prayer ever. Jesus did the intercessory prayer before he even left here. This is what y'all say.
My God.
You cover. Okay. You're covered because it's our Father. And because it's our Father, that means he's mine. And it is done. Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Listen, before you all go,
can
you hear me? Before you leave, I want to, I want to share just a little something with you. It's kind of cute and sweet. And hey, Bishop, good to hear from you. Okay.
Hello.
What it is Dottie Osteen, the mother of Joel Osteen, said, make your words sweet because you never know when you might have to eat them. And I just thought that was great. Me equating everything with food, that's something to remember.
Amen. Yes. Somebody else? Anybody else? Before we close it out and Bishop seals it in prayer, remember this, and we say it every now and then. What if you woke up today with all these things you thanked God for yesterday? Okay.
My God.
Hallelujah. All right, Bishop.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for what was taught. God, we thank you for every opportunity, God, just to learn more about you, a word from the word. And we thank you, God, that that word is now sealed within every listener, every believer, anyone that would tend their ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to them in this hour, in the season of their life. Father, continue to have your way in our lives and transform us. Thank you for the expressions of love. Teach us how to continue after this point to continue praying all that we have learned and acquired within this hour, oh God, and war for it, oh God, so that it can come to pass. Oh God, that longing and that hunger to serve and to love you and to feel your presence. Thank you, oh God, for allowing us to come up hither so that we can be there with you. And thank you that we would not leave others behind, but we would make preparations and do the work of the ministry that will bring them to this place so that they can be enlightened and continue to grow and transform in you. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ that is ready and being prepared for continued edification. Lord, thank you for not allowing us to apprehend the full thing. But yet we can continue to grow and progress. And even in our apprehension, there will always be a deeper understanding that we need to attain because you are a progressive God. And so, Father, we love you. Thank you. Bless the teacher, the overseer over this ministry, oh God, that would avail herself weekly to share your biblical truths and secrets and reveal the mysteries that are in the Bible. Thank you for the apostle, God, over all of us, oh God, that would continue to labor in love for the people of God. And we bless you, Father. Give these people a wonderful day, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Oh God, as they move forward in their destinations or whatever events that they have to. Bless those who need comforting even now, oh God, as they are grieving and going through bereavement of their loved ones. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.